So I asked myself the question, what was my response to that sermon? What are the practical things that I can do as a response? We very much want to, in the discipleship sessions, we want to begin to come down to just two R's, if you like, two things, to respond and to reflect. So if you listen to the sermon or you listen to the sermon summary, you've got ample opportunity to reflect on what is a pretty profound message about the coming season of the church, family and community that you're part of. So my initial reflections are that Jeff asked probably over 25, nearly 30 questions. And that's very interesting. Started off with, are you happy? Are you fulfilled? What would you need to change to be happy and fulfilled? Would it be you? My experience in the abundant life Jesus is inviting me to. Where are our souls out of shape? What is an abundant life? How do we experience it? How do the promises of Psalm 23 compare with my life now? Do I find joy in Jesus? Do I live with abiding peace? Do I have faith in God's governance? Am I bearing the fruit of righteousness in my life? Is my life centered around worship for God's glory? Does my hope stand firm in suffering? How do we live an abundant life? Have we relegated walking with Jesus to a brief moment or church attendance or a moment of Bible study or prayer at the beginning of the day? Why have we settled with a mediocre walk with Jesus? Where have we settled for that? And then the last question was, how will we respond to that invitation to walk constantly with Jesus? So the reflections are that this is a deeply probing sermon, which I believe it is the Holy Spirit asking these questions through the preacher. And I'm always mindful of what's the Holy Spirit teaching us through the sermons. And that's why I think it's so important to value those sermons, to stop and pause. There are all of those questions that were asked. And so if we look at the practical, what can I do practically to respond? So the reflections are good, and you can discuss this in your groups. You can discuss this with over tea or over coffee or whatever you want to do, but there are a lot of questions that require answers. In terms of a practical thing that we can do, well, I'm always mindful of Corinthians 2:13-5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? So I'm not saying this is a salvation issue. It's a health issue. This is a health warning. This is a health checkup. When's the last time you went for an abundant life health checkup? Now, we know that what we can do in practical terms is during the day or at the end of the day is to just ask yourself some questions about how did the day go. So we could start with Psalm 23. How did I respond to the day? Was I like the person? Was I like the person that's got the promises of Psalm 23? Did I find joy in Jesus at any point during the day? What robbed me of my joy? Am I determined tomorrow to go back into that same situation and discover the joy of Jesus? Am I going to rejoice? Do I live with abiding peace? Was I peaceful today, or was I vexed and filled with vanity? You know, did my flesh go off on one all day long? Was I just living in the flesh, or was I living the truly crucified life where I can say, no, my flesh is crucified and I am alive in Jesus. I can know the fruits of love, joy and peace. Do I have faith right now that God, however bad my situation, that God's governance is for good? So where did I moan and groan against God today? Did I bear the fruit of righteousness in my day today? Where was I obdurate, obstinate, pig-headed, stubborn, and vile towards another human being? Where did I neglect to spend time worshipping God all day long in little moments where I can think, oh, this is going badly, but praise God I'm saved. Praise God I can stand at the foot of the cross and look up at the wonder of his suffering and know that I'm born again, I'm brand new, that he dwells within me. Is my life centred around worship for God's glory? Am I rejoicing? Am I worshipping? Even though my job may be boring, my circumstances may be hard, I may be ill, I might have terrible anxieties and troubles of mind, but am I willing to rejoice and worship with what I've got that is more precious and more powerful than all of that, which is a hope that Jesus is in me. He is my strength. He is my fortress. So what I'm saying is I sit down at the end of the day and look at the questions that I know I need to ask. And the Holy Spirit will give you those questions, your partners, your mentors, your other co-disciples will help you put together a standard set of questions at the end of the day to ask the question, did I pass the test? Did other people get the benefit of seeing Mike Clements clothed in righteousness and full of the Holy Spirit, or did they just see grumpy, bad-tempered Mike? And if so, no, that's not acceptable. I need to repent. I need to say, no, that's not going to define me. If Jesus could have nails driven through him, then I, who've been taken out of a pit into the great pasture of his love, I can celebrate and say, no, I am going to make progress in these areas. So where are the trip points in your life? Where is the, what are the things that bring out the worst in you? Submit them to the cross. Nail them to the cross. We know the enemy is on our back, so we need the armour of God on at all times. But we also know our flesh is a pain, an absolute pain. Where are we mortifying the flesh in these areas? So, again, I think it's good to examine ourselves at the end of the day or during the day at lunchtime. You know, I would examine myself. I would suggest, you know, doing it at lunchtime during the day so I could try and get better control over my afternoon. But I'd definitely would do that as an ongoing basis to know. I know I've got probably six or seven trigger points for naffness. And I know I've now got six or seven ways of rejoicing in that situation to overcome that situation in Christ. But it needs honesty, it needs repentance, it needs to be worked at. The other thing I would say is that get the most out of the sermon in practical terms. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, to the body of God that are set aside for works of service, for being a rejoicing, worshipful people? What is God saying to us? It sounds like there's going to be a whole season of us exploring the answer to all of these questions. You might not have the answers now, but you can start by searching yourself daily. Thank you.